From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 8th day of September 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of GrowMark will join us today to take up the agricultural energy markets. In agricultural news, U.S. officials want G20 nations to drop fuel subsidies. Trade ministers are moving quickly to restart the long-stalled WTO agricultural negotiations. And the European Union is asking its member nations to stop blocking the import of GMO crops, or at least to move more quickly to approve them. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau, and in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. The Closing Mark Report is a production of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. These are the way the numbers settled in Chicago today. Futures in the wheat pit finished 12.5 cents lower for the nearby September at 431.5. December at 459, down 12.75. And the March at 478.75, down 12.75. September wheat for the hard red in Kansas City, a $4.65 settlement price, 12 cents lower. From the corn pit back in Chicago, nearby Saps at 302.75, up 2.25. December futures, 307.5, up 1.25. The March contract, $3.21, up 1.25. May futures, 330.5, up 1.25. And July corn, $3.39, up 1.25. September soybean futures, $9.69. The finish there, 8 cents higher. November at 936.5. Up 14.5 in January, 16.25 higher at $9.43.25. March futures 947.25, up 19.5 cents. The May, $9.46, up 19.25. September soybean meal 343.50 on the day, up $11.30. October 290.30, up 3.10. September soybean oil 34.23, 58 cents higher. The October up 57 cents at 34.40. October live cattle futures 87.10, up 45 cents. December at 86.87, up 20. September feeders at $99.05, 10 cents higher. And the October lean hogs $50.97.5, up 47.5 cents. You are listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the nearby October at $71.10, a settlement price $3.08 higher. October ethanol at $1.56.09, 2.5 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.81.07, up 8.9 cents. The RBOB at $1.83.04, that's 5.8 cents of a cent higher. And the heating oil, this is diesel fuel, at $1.78.06, up 6.5 cents. October propane trading at 94.3 cents of a cent. That's just about 3 cents lower. And the gold futures today at $997.90, up $3 even. The Dow now stands at 9,489, 48 points higher. The dollar at 77.31 is down 0.71. And the CRB index this afternoon at 252.57 on its last trade, up 4.99 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the Tuesday region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tomorrow should be, rather tonight in Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy. A patch of fog forming in Indiana, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers early and patchy fog developing late. Lows will range from 55 in far northern parts of Illinois to 65 in the downtown area of Chicago. Tomorrow, says Ed, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms will pop up. Highs tomorrow will range from 75 near Lake Michigan to 85 in southern Illinois. The extended forecast says an upper air low cut off from the main west-to-east flow is currently centered over central Indiana, and it will remain nearby while slowly weakening over the next few days. That means unsettled weather, some scattered showers, mostly daytime through Thursday. Coverage, says Ed, will decrease to less than 25% on Thursday. Dry, warm weather expected on Friday. High temps should be in the 80s. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Yonning Center in Kokomo, Indiana, for another one of our Illinois Public Media Agriculture Outlook panels. Tonight's meeting gets underway at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, that's 6 o'clock Central. Panelists include Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company, Lee Goss of EFG out of Chicago, and Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. That's at the Yonning Center tonight in Kokomo, Indiana. The meeting getting underway at 7 o'clock Eastern. No advance registration is required. The meeting is free, and we hope to see you there.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson always joins us from his L&M office in New Market, Indiana. He does so this afternoon. Hi, Wayne. Tell me about the marketplace as you see it today and what it might mean in the near-term future and how we made it through the long Labor Day weekend.
Well, we made it through with some very generic weather, Todd. So no explosions last night. Actually, we opened a little bit easier. And then when the foreign stock markets come in higher, we saw the gold punch through $1,000. And the dollar break, we saw crude oil increase, and then we saw the greens come back and close on the positive side, much different than they were earlier in the evening. And that continued through the day-to-day, Todd, as we saw strength in the stock market. You know, we're up 63 in the Dow here right now, the crude oil up 328, and the dollar down about 70 cents on the day. So, you know, all of it was basically the outside markets. We're looking at a little bit of probably position evening going into Friday's report from the government. You know, will the government come with some of the numbers like Informa and that? We doubt they'll push the limit clear up that much. As late as this crop is developing, we think we'll have them tendency to do part of it now, but not all like Informa or FC Stone has done.
You know, the December contract and the corn settled at 307.5, but importantly, it had a low at 302. That happens to be equal to, but not lower than, the contract low that was set at the very beginning of this contract life. So down at the contract lows, bounced off it quite nicely. I suppose that's a pretty good sign on the day, though. I suspect that between now and Friday, they may try to push that down and see whether they can punch through the 302, do you think?
Well, it's going to depend a lot on how the dollar acts between now and then, Todd. If the dollar would strengthen, we imagine there'd be an attempt at that number to see, and then see if. And then the quick thing is, of course, the psychological number of this, the $3 mark itself, and whether it could be penetrated, if it does, if it could close below it. But all in all, for right now, you know, we think that showed some good technical strength there, bouncing off of it. But very closely is going to be what's happening with the dollar. And, of course, we're going to be watching the weather forecasts. Most of the weather forecasts right now are pointing to a little better chance of no frost through probably about the 22nd here right now, but that'd still be an early frost. We come in 23rd with some frost in a lot of areas that would do quite a bit of damage.
Yeah, primary thing you've been telling producers as they call in today?
Well, I think basically if we haven't got caught up on selling right now, we sit and see what the dollar is going to do for the moment. But, you know, as we talked about, of course, over at the Farm Progress Show, and we've talked about every week, why, you know, we wanted to have a good portion of this crop sold going into the harvest, feeling that this was going to be a big harvest. And what we didn't have sold, we were probably going to want to stick in the bin and not sell till later.
Yeah, when you talk about see what the dollar does, you're hoping that it probably weakens and exports pick up?
Well, you know, that's if we want the prices to go back up here, we sure do. We just don't want to get too enthusiastic about having our dollar go to little value in, as far as the world goes.
It's indeed.
You know, we still care about the U.S. economy, and we just would like to see the dollar not lose too much more here.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
That's about it today, Todd. I want to tell everybody thanks that stopped by and saw us there at the Farm Progress Show. It was really great to see all the guys, the listeners, and meet them in person and talk to them and say hi. So it was a great time over there last Tuesday.
Thank you much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Wayne had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. If you can't hear us, by the way, on the radio, or you can't get to the website, you can always go to this phone line number. It's just voicemail at 9:15 and or actually at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. We update it with some, oh, a little analysis and some of the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. The phone number to call is 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. It's updated at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with basically the opening numbers and some analysis and then the closing numbers and the analysis. 217-333-3434. Dave's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, U.S. officials will call on their counterparts from other group of 20 nations to drop their use of subsidies that keep the price of fossil fuels cheaper for their consumers. Reports indicate the request will be made when the G20 heads of state meet in Pittsburgh later this month. The U.S. will argue fuel subsidies distort the market for oil and oil products by lowering the price and artificially raising demand, in turn leading to greater consumption of fossil fuels, which produces greater amounts of greenhouse gas emissions. Last Friday, trade ministers from more than 30 World Trade Organization member countries announced plans to restart Doha Round trade talks on agriculture and industrial trade barriers within 10 days. The Doha talks, now in their seventh year, originally intended to improve global markets by cutting farm subsidies in rich countries and import tariffs in poorer ones. The European Union Council of Agricultural Ministers is meeting today to discuss the economic risks posed by the EU's tougher policy of rejecting agricultural imports that contain tiny residues of unauthorized genetically modified material. The issue made headlines in June when Germany and Spain blocked cargoes of U.S. soy, one of which amounted to 35,000 metric tons that were found to contain traces of GM corn not yet approved in the EU. The EU's Agriculture Commissioner will urge ministers to speed the approval of new GM varieties. The EU takes a minimum of 2.5 years and often much longer to authorize new GM strains compared with an average of 15 months in the U.S. Smithfield Foods posted a wider-than-expected quarterly loss today, hurt by low hog prices and a drop in pork sales due in part to consumer nervousness over the H1N1 flu. But the company assured investors it is on better financial footing as new measures, including a $1 billion credit facility and note sale, have reduced its risk of violating debt covenants. The Smithfield, Virginia-based company reported a loss of $107.7 million, or 75 cents per share, for the fiscal first quarter ending August 2nd, compared with a year earlier loss of $13.2 million, or 10 cents per share. Revenue fell to $2.72 billion from $3.14 billion. U.S. hog prices averaged $42 per hundredweight during the quarter, down from $55 a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and of Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says, transportation is an integral part of economic survival.
The Safe, Accountable, Flexible, Efficient Transportation Equity Act, or also known as SAFE-T, is set to expire on September 30, 2009. This piece of federal transportation legislation is integral to the infrastructure and economic survival of the United States. SAFE-T was enacted in August 2005, authorizing $244.1 billion for federal surface transportation programs, such as highways, highway safety, and mass transit over the five-year period. While state and local governments tend to invest more in highways than the federal government, recent federal investments have been growing. In fact, according to the Government Accountability Office, it is not uncommon for federal funding to represent roughly 45% of all highway capital spending in the United States. In addition, the overall structure of most transportation legislation is fairly broad-based, covering areas such as transit, motor carrier safety, research, planning, hazardous materials transportation, rail, and finance. Therefore, transportation funding debates rally interest from a variety of sectors, making the legislation difficult to pass and sign into law. The Highway Trust Fund provides the majority of the funding for federal surface transportation projects and is divided into two separate accounts, highways and mass transit. Although there are several sources of revenue for the trust fund, gasoline and diesel fuel taxes represent about 90% of the income to the accounts. One of the most significant issues in the current tight budget situation is assuring adequate funding levels for the Highway Trust Fund. At current revenue levels, the Federal Highway Administration Trust Fund is expected to realize a $3.9 billion shortfall in fiscal year 2009, setting the stage for a precarious budget situation at the time of reauthorization. The previous long-term transportation authorization expired in 2003, and it required 2 years to negotiate and locate the funds necessary to reauthorize. Much of the funding in surface transportation bills has traditionally had a bias toward use in urban areas due to high population concentration. Highway congestion currently exceeds capacity in many major metropolitan areas and near ports utilized for trade and commerce. According to the Congressional Research Service, this congestion trend is expected to continue over time as population and economic growth lead to an increase in demand and passenger travel over the next 30 years. Congestion reduction, safety programs, environmental regulations, new mass transit construction, and earmarks for high-priority projects brought to the forefront during the safety debate are expected to reemerge as significant points during the next reauthorization period. SAFE-T reauthorized and created several programs that are directly related to rural America, such as formula grants for special needs of elderly individuals and individuals with disabilities, job access, and reverse commute grants, the Rural Transportation Accessibility Incentive Program, and the High-Risk Rural Road Program. These and other rural programs are important to improving transportation in rural areas. Farm Bureau will monitor the reauthorization process, including the areas of farm truck safety, commercial driver's license, truck weights and farm exemptions, and custom harvesters and interstate commerce. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just write us an email. The address is willagstaff@illinois.edu.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We always take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural energies. Once a month, we talk with Harry Cooney. He's at GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Should be on the line with us today. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been an interesting time in the world of agriculture as commodities have slipped. That meaning commodities in Chicago and in Kansas City. But, of course, we have watched the crude oil pretty closely as it trades as well. Can you tell me what you see technically in that marketplace?
Well, it's interesting. The crude oil market hasn't really done much since about the 1st of June. We've had some big swings, but we've topped out around $75 several times. We dipped down to around $60 just after the 4th of July. And now we're back up to around 70 here. So overall, we just have moved in a sideways, a wide trading range, but mostly kind of moved sideways. We're staying in the upper end of the range and not going very far.
I mean, usually we call that consolidation, and generally it means it's a base building, but it could break out to either side eventually. What are your thoughts?
Well, for now, the seasonal tendency suggests that sometime between late summer and mid-fall, you top out the energy complex. And then you set back into the Thanksgiving and Christmas time period. We still think that that's what's happening this year. It's just each year is a little different. And so now we're watching to see if we can make a higher high over the $75 resistance. A lot of resistance on the price charts from the technical guys, and they tell us that you'd have to get up through 75 to really get something going to 80 or beyond. We have not been able to do that yet, but we can't break either. So, again, we're just still caught in that sideways trading range. I would think they'll probably try to make another attempt up and then see if we can get through that 75 or not.
No, I don't have that chart in front of me, but I suspect while there is a lot of resistance there that we haven't been into those heights, but in recent times, so there it would be within the last couple of years there would be resistance there, but it's an inordinately high price for crude oil, is that right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, keeping in mind that we topped out last year around 100 and almost 150, and
right.
We dropped down to about 30. Halfway back of that move, which they call would be a 50% retracement, is up around 90. I have not been of the belief that we could get up there, or that it was likely that we get up there on this 2009 run. But sometimes the market will go to what they call a 50% retracement. So I guess I am on guard for the potential for some move like that.
And what are you telling producers about the stocks that they need on hand and how to go about taking care of them?
Well, we've talked about keeping inventories full going into fall, realizing that harvest is going to be a late one this year. As far as a lot of questions coming in about buying for next year and contracting ahead, though, we're holding off on contracting for next year. The seasonal tendencies that we look at for whether it's a 5-year, a 15, or a 25-year suggest that there should be better buying and contracting opportunities in the Thanksgiving, Christmas, to Valentine's period than there are now. So we're not contracting on out, but having inventories full going into this period, we've definitely recommended.
You know, some of our listeners won't really be aware of what we mean by contracting with a supplier. They'll understand that, but the needs that the producers have is awfully great to operate a lot of machinery, and so they don't go to the gas station and just fill them up either with diesel or gasoline. They keep those on hand on site, right?
That's right. That's right. Our local FS suppliers can look at different types of contracting programs that they offer, and definitely want to take advantage of those. And we'll be looking at making some new recommendations on the contracting side, again, probably in the late year, early next year, for the 2010 season.
And how do producers get hold of those numbers that you might produce?
Well, they talk to the local their local FS member company, and they can get them lined up with those numbers.
Harry, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Harry Cooney, he's with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. We talk with him once a month about the agricultural energy markets, but of course we discuss ag energies each and every Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don Day will be here in just about 2 minutes when we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Date Nut Bread Day. Dates have been cultivated in the Middle East for millennia. Dates were introduced into Mexico and California by the Spaniards by 1765. Date palms can take between 4 to 7 years after planting before they will bear fruit and produce viable yields for commercial harvest between 7 to 10 years. On this day in agricultural history in 1636, the Great and General Court of Massachusetts Bay Colony established Harvard College, the first college in the Americas. In 1790, Canvas White was born. An American engineer, he assisted Benjamin Wright in the building of the Erie Canal. One of his great contributions was discovery of the ability to make cement from limestone along the canal route. And he ultimately received the first U.S. patent for waterproof cement. In 1930, Richard Drew invented the first waterproof see-through pressure-sensitive tape. Incidentally, 5 years earlier, Drew observed at a local auto body shop that auto painters had difficulty making clean dividing lines on two color paint jobs. And after 2 years of effort in the company's labs, he also invented masking tape, a tan paper tape with a light, pressure-sensitive adhesive backing. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. This is Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us today is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, tell me about the weather right here in the Midwest to begin with.
Well, I tell you, we've got our work cut out for us. A very interesting and rather complex weather pattern is going to be developing at the end of this week and into the weekend, where a storm system dropping south and east out of western Canada is going to settle into the northern plains states, drift as far west as the Rockies, and kind of wobble around for a few days. This is going to take a track and a path that's going to make things a little bit hard to predict in terms of where we're expecting the best precipitation chances to be. Right now, it looks like the northern plains, north and south Dakota, portions of Nebraska could get into a cool, wet weather pattern. If the system ends up a little bit further east, well, some of that coolness and wetness will move into the northern and western Corn Belt.
And then if you take a little bit of a look around the globe, what do you see?
Well, as we take a look, as we get deeper into September, let's go over to China. Precipitation chances there are high. In fact, a cool and rather moist weather pattern for most of China expected over the next week to 10 days. Temperatures are going to be averaging a bit below normal with that precipitation as well. Over in Europe, they're experiencing some cooler but fair weather right now, but it looks to be increasingly wet, especially for Central and Western Europe, and maybe portions of Western Russia as we get on into next week.
And finally, if you'd come back into the United States, you and I have had some discussions early on about what the jet stream is doing and what it looks like and whether that means cold air for the month of September and frosty air, more importantly. Anything new under development in that area?
Well, I wish I could tell you I have a lot of confidence in our computer models out to 2 weeks, but I don't. One thing I will tell you is that we're seeing hints that late September, maybe last 5 or 7 days of September, there will probably be some type of colder air surge coming in out of central and western Canada. But right now, the pattern is complex enough where we don't see anything, let's say in the next 2 weeks, that would signal a big surge of cold, wet weather for the Midwest, where we have to worry about frosty temps. But we'll need to keep an eye on the last few days of the month.
All right. Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here in the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. And remember, you can always visit us online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
One final note before we let you go for the afternoon. Make sure you visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And if you happen to be near the Yawning Center in Kokomo tonight, you can always look up what Dave Dickey and company will be doing there tonight. Be sure to drop by there at willag.org. You'll find all the directions.